Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godawari Power & Ispat Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Sahil.
Sure. Thank you, Danish. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Godawari Power & Ispat Limited. Please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements, and therefore, this must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We are joined today by Mr. Abhishek Agrawal, Executive Director, Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, Executive Director, and Mr. Sanjay Bothra, Chief Financial Officer. May I now invite Mr. Sanjay Bothra to present the company's business outlook and performance, after which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sahil. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on today's call. Our financial results and earnings presentation have been uploaded to our website as well as the stock exchanges, and I trust you have had an opportunity to review them. I will now briefly walk you through the key highlights of the results, following which we will open the floor for a question-and-answer session. We are pleased to say that FY26 has been a year marked by several significant milestones and strategic achievements. Despite soft realization, GPL delivered a good set of numbers, with revenues remaining steady and EBITDA and PAT margin strong at 23% and 15%, respectively. On the operational front, GPL delivered a strong performance in FY26, successfully achieving its production targets across key segments. Sponge iron, structural rolled products, and ferroalloys surpassed their targets, with production exceeding 100% of planned levels. Meanwhile, mining, pellets, and billets achieved 92%, 95%, and 96% of their targeted production level, respectively. In FY26, healthy production ramp-up was seen across iron ore mining, pellet production, and structural rolled products. Q4 witnessed robust YoY growth in pellets, sponge iron, and structural rolled products, supported by capacity ramp-up and healthy demand. The sales volume in FY26 showed an increasing trend in pellets, sponge iron, galvanized fabricated products, and structural rolled products. In Q4, the growth momentum of sales volume remained strong, led by pellets and structural rolled products. Q4 witnessed sequential improvement in the realization, driven by better pricing momentum across the steel value chain, while FY26 realization remained softer across key products. Coming to the consolidated financial performance, FY26 revenue remained stable, while Q4 FY26 revenue recorded a strong 41% quarter-on-quarter growth, supported by a healthy production ramp-up, higher sales volume, and improved realizations. FY26 EBITDA stood stable at 1,253 crores, whereas Q4 FY26 EBITDA increased by 38% YoY basis and 91% QoQ basis to rupees 439 crores. FY26 PAT also remained stable at 802 crores, with Q4 FY26 PAT rising to 280 crores. Cash flow from operating activities improved by 29% to 1,157 crores, driven by strong operational performance and efficient working capital management. GPL continues to maintain a healthy balance sheet with a cash position of 837 crores. The standalone performance during FY26 also remained stable and healthy. The standalone PAT growth of 19% represents dividend income from Ardent Steel and exceptional income on sale of stake in Ardent Steel. However, in the consolidated results, the stake held in Ardent Steel has been derecognized upon disinvestment of stake held in Ardent Steel. Further, dividend income and profit on sale of stake of Ardent Steel does not form part of consolidated results, and therefore consolidated PAT was lower as compared to the standalone PAT. Coming to the key achievements and strategic updates, I am pleased to share that GPL received environment approval and consent to operate from the CECV in February 26 for the capacity enhancement of the Ari-Dhoundi mines from 2.35 to 6 million tons. The ramping up of the capacities has already begun in a phased manner with full-scale operation targeted from FY28. The iron ore beneficiation plant capacity expansion at the Ari-Dhoundi mines, increasing capacity tenfold to 6 million tons, is targeted for commissioning by Q3 FY27. GPI also received CTO from CCB for capacity expansion of Rispanjaro region from 0.59 million tons to 0.65 million tons, HB wire from 0.1 million tons to 0.115 million tons, and for an additional 7 megawatt waste heat recovery waste power plant, taking the total waste heat recovery power plant capacity to 49 megawatt. GPL commissioned its 2 million ton iron ore pellet plant in December 25, taking total pellet capacity from 2.7 to 4.7 million ton. The plant is India's first to use advanced natural gas-based grate kiln technology, marking a shift from conventional carbon-intensive processes. GPL is progressing on its 0.7 million ton CRM complex project with on-site construction expected to commission by July FY26. Order for key equipment lines have been placed and advance payments have been released for all major process lines. The project is targeted for commissioning by March FY27. GPL is setting up a 20 gigawatt base project for which soil testing has been completed and construction of the compound wall is currently underway. We have signed long-term agreements with EV Power for grade 1 628 AH LFP sales and with Shanghai Semi Roche Energy Technologies for BC balance of system supply, securing the project supply chain. This project is expected to commission from March 27. The board has approved the setting up of a 1 million ton integrated steel plant for manufacturing structural steel and wire rods. Land acquisition and environmental approval are in place while consent to establish is awaited. Discussion with equipment suppliers and project engineering are underway with construction expected to begin in October 26. GPI is also expanding its captive solar power capacity by over three times, currently from 165 megawatt to 540 megawatt. To support captive consumption across iron ore mines, additional 2 million in pellet plant, CRM, and upcoming integrated steel plant operation. In addition to current 165 megawatt, the company has commissioned solar power capacity of 25 megawatt yesterday only, and additional 100 megawatt is expected to be commissioned by July 26. On the ESG front, the company has completed most initiatives under its energy efficiency and decarbonization project, reinforcing its commitment towards achieving net zero carbon emission by 2050. As part of its EV-led transition towards greener operation, GPL invested in 10 EV dumpers, 24 EV loaders, and 15 EV excavators during the year. The adoption of electric transportation has reduced operating costs by nearly 75% and lowered carbon emission by around 88% compared to conventional diesel vehicles. The company has plans to shift the existing transport fleet to EV fleet to reduce emission and cost saving. This shall be announced in due course. Now coming to the market outlook, global iron ore prices remained relatively resilient during FY26, supported by steady demand from China, supply side disruption, and LP steel production in emerging economies such as India. Benchmark 62% FE iron ore prices largely traded in the range of $95 to $110 per metric ton during recent months. On the domestic front, India witnessed a sharp rise in the iron ore imports and reached a 7-year high of 12 million ton plus in FY26, driven by strong steel demand and shortage of high-grade ore required by domestic mills. Despite higher domestic production, imports increased significantly, highlighting robust consumption trend in the Indian steel sector. Looking ahead, the medium-term outlook for iron ore prices remains costly, balanced amid swing steel demand in China and expected ramp-up of new low-cost supplies from Simandou project in Guyana. However, rising steel consumption in India and increasing preferences for high-grade iron ore are expected to provide structural support to demand going forward for pellets in high-grade iron ore. On the pellets front, demand for premium-grade pellets continues to strengthen globally amid decarbonization initiatives and the gradual shift towards gas-based DRI steelmaking. Industry reports project the global iron ore pellet market to grow at a CAGR of around 5-6% over the next decade. Supported by increasing adoption of cleaner steelmaking technologies, looking ahead, India's pellet demand outlook also remains positive, supported by ongoing steel capacity expansion and the industry's growth focus on low-carbon and high-grade raw materials. In conclusion, backed by the competitive advantage of captive iron ore mines, a strong net cash position, ongoing capacity expansion, and a straightforward ESG focus, GPL remains well positioned to drive sustainable value creation through operational excellence, solar-led cost optimization, and the continued support of all stakeholders. I would now like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Next question come. Our first question comes from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Very good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. So first of all, a lot of congratulations on a good set of numbers for the quarter. My first question is on the iron ore mining guidance. I might have missed in the opening remarks, but for FY27, if we go to slide number 17. We have a guidance of 3.4 million tons for FY27. So now, I think last call we were guiding that we would be doing somewhere around 4.5 to 5 million tons. So what's changed? Is there some delays in the ore production? Can you please just help me with that?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Firstly, so the guidance we've given is the net usable iron ore, which will be sent to the pellet complex for using it, because we will be benefiting the iron ore in the mines itself once our 6 million the beneficiation plant commissioned. So the actual mining will be close to about 4 to 4.25 million tons this year, because 1.5 million will be BMQ, where the recovery will be less than 50%. So about 0.8, 0.75 million tons of iron ore will be, you know, wasted tailings. So the actual iron ore mining production will be about 4 to 4.25 million tons. But the guidance we've given is the net usable iron ore coming to the plant for making pellets, which is about 3.4 million tons. So this year, we were doing about 4 to 4.25 million tons of iron ore production. And end of Q3, early Q4, we should be able to hit the rated capacity target of 6 million tons. And from FY28, we should be able to mine 6 million. And the actual output concentrated usable for pellet plant will be about 4.5 million tons. That's how you want to see it.
Okay. Thank you for that. And this 3.4 also includes ore from Boria Tibu, or is it purely Ari Dongri?
No, see, Boria Tibu, you know, last year mining was hardly about 0.3 million tons. This year we'll be doing about 0.5 million tons, because again, Boria Tibu is a very low-grade ore. So currently we are bringing it to the plant and beneficiating, where the recovery is hardly about 40%. So even if you do about 0.5 million tons this year, the usable iron ore will be about 0.2, 0.25 million. So which is very not substantial. So 3.4 will be the net usable iron ore this financial year, which will be going to the pellet plant.
Okay, understood. So So to get it in a nutshell, we'll be buying roughly 1.5 million tons of iron ore for our pellet.
Close to about 1 million ton, but that will drastically come down post Diwali, which is November, once we are able to achieve the rated capacity post monsoon. As a year whole, we can see a total mining to be about 4.5 million ton, including Boria Tibbu. Net usable iron ore about 3.5 million tons for this financial year.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. And the new mine now putting in the ore from this year onwards, how do we see the landed cost of ore changing? Do we expect it in the 2,900, 3,000 rupees per ton range?
No, this year, unfortunately, so if you see now, so because of the diesel escalation and the shortage all over because of the war, so our transportation cost is already up by, $200-$250. So, but for the full year, we see the value to be at the same similar levels of 3,000. And Mr. Bothra just mentioned, we have started talking to the transporters. We want to complete the entire fleet to EV trucks to have a substantial saving on the diesel side. So this year, the guidance will be on the similar levels, which is about 3,000-3,200 levels. But Q3, Q4 onwards, we can see a substantial reduction in the pricing of mining.
Oh, sure, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. My second question is, how do you see the pricing in Q1 as compared to Q4?
See, Q1, the pricing was pretty much at the same levels of Q4 for the first half of Q1, but the second half of Q1, say end of April, early May, the prices have, softened a bit, almost by 10% across the supply chain. It might be a war effect, it might be the summer season or the heat wave, which is across the India right now. So Q1, the prices have softened almost 10% across the supply chain, post end of April onwards.
So, okay, that's helpful. So just one last question. I was looking at a slide 25, where we have a vision for 2031, and we have our EBITDA growing substantially from the current levels. So just wanted to get a sense of what all are you looking at from a company's long-term strategy point of view. Is it the current projects is what the estimate is, or there are certain projects which haven't been announced, or, I mean,
No. So it's basically the revenue top line coming from all the projects we have announced. So if you see the BESS battery storage, which is about 20 gigawatts. So if you consider about 16 gigawatts, so from there, we see a top line of about 15,000 crores. A new steel plant, we see a top line of about 6,000 crores. The CRM, we see a top line of about 3,000-4,000 crores. And with the pellet capacity, crossing 4 million this year. So put together, the current complex and the projects we've already announced, we see a top line reaching close to about 30,000 crores in the next 4 to 5 years.
Got it. That is helpful. Thank you. All the best. I'll join back with you for more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one in order to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. My question relate to more of a EBITDA growth, what we had seen quarter on quarter. So if you see, the prices has remained more or less same for pellets, though we had seen increase in other commodities. But the delta seems quite high in EBITDA growth as compared to what we had seen in the prices increase of the pellet. Anything?
There are two reasons. One is there was a carryover inventory of iron ore pellets of about 89,000 tons in Q3, which got sold in Q4. So the additional EBITDA has come from there. Plus, our new pellet plant started production end of Q3, which is December, and we were able to reach to a 70% capacity. So the additional volume of pellets came in from there. And lastly was our mining production, which was about 2.4-2.35 till last year. We got the EC approval, at third week of February. So March, we could do the extra mining of almost about 2-2.5 lakh tons. So majorly these three factors contributed to the additional EBITDA compared to Q3.
Okay. And sir, second question related to BESS. So 20 million overall you will be 20 gigawatt overall you will be doing. Can you give the timeline how it will be starting? Means first you will be starting 5 gigawatt and thereafter how you will
scale it up? Sure. So see, with the current development, we should be able to commission the first line by end of Q4, which is March 27. So first year, FY28, we expect to do a 5 to 6 gigawatt of output, which is hardly at about, 30-40%. Second year, we want to scale it to about 70%, which is at about, 12-13 gigawatt, 14 gigawatt. And from third year onwards, we expect to do about 17-18 gigawatts. So in next 2 to 3 years, we should be able to reach to a 90% capacity. That's how we have planned it for the phase one of 20 gigawatt line.
And if you can talk about the margin in this base business.
See, when we started the project, when we conceived, we were expecting a margin of about roughly about, 7-8%. So today, if you see, today the price of one container is close to about 80 lakh rupees per megawatt hour, which is about 4 crore rupees per container. So when we conceived this project, it was supposed to be about 7-8%, so about 3.5-4 lakh rupees margin. But with current demand coming from Indian sector, with the grid stability and all those things, the margins have gone up almost to 12-13% at the moment. But still, if you consider a very conservative figure of 7-8%, on a, 80 lakh per megawatt, we do about a 4 lakh rupees of, net margin. And basis that you can multiply to a 16-18 gigawatt line. That's how we have conceived the project. So a 4-4.5 lakh rupees per megawatt hour into a 16 gigawatt line. Comes to about 7 crores if everything goes well.
Yeah, great. Sir, anything, something related to this only, like how we are related to anything increase in lithium prices or lithium sales prices, if that happens, then how we are safeguarded?
See, so as Mr. Bothra announced, we have done a long-term tie-up with a tier one Chinese company called EVE. So the way we have, priced the entire supply of the cells, it is index-based, where we have captured few important components which contributes to the manufacturing of lithium cells. So if the market goes up, the supplier will pass on the price to us. If the market goes down, it will be vice versa. So, for example, if you see, 6 months back, the prices of lithium cells are about $37-38 per watt, which is now at about $55 per watt. In the same way, if you see, 6 months back, the price quoting in India was about 70 lakh rupees per megawatt hour. And today, price quoted for the same container is about 85 lakh rupees per megawatt hour. So eventually, any increase, substantial increase in the cell price will be eventually passed on to the buyers in the Indian market to maintain the margins. So the pricing we've done with the supplier is on index base so that, it is fair to both the parties.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aman Kothari from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity for asking questions and congratulations, sir, on the wonderful set of results. Sir, I wanted to get a current understanding on the iron ore environment that we're seeing. Recently, we have seen that it has been hovering around 105, 110, currently around 107. So do you think these prices will be stable for the next of the year and with them being at these prices, our spread will eventually increase?
See, if you see about 15 days back, the prices also touched about 110, 112 levels as well.
Yeah.
With this war situation and, the currency fluctuation, the prices have softened a bit. But as you see the international reports, I feel this year the prices should remain above 100 levels for the entire year. That's what the international report says. And that there is demand from China. Import into India is also happening because of, availability of iron ore in India is not up to the mark. So I feel $100 plus should be the target for the entire year on iron ore side.
Got it. And, sorry. And for the pellet plant, I think you mentioned, sir, it is a gas-based pellet plant that we have set up.
Yeah, so earlier we were using coal gas, basically we went into gasification. So now from coal gas, we have shifted to natural gas. We have done a 7 years MOU with GAIL for supply of natural gas. So a new pellet plant is running 100%. The fuel is natural gas.
So, sir, with that, I think you clearly explained in the last call the difference between a coal-based DRI pellet and a gas-based DRI pellet. So, you clearly stated you would not want to look into let's say a DRI that's gas-based. But with this, are we looking at that kind of an export market?
We are. See, definitely with CBAM coming into picture, with demand from, you know, export market, and with the capacity of pellet being added into India, the whole idea was we want to be export ready. So whenever we see the domestic demand is on the, just say, for example, today, the domestic demand is on the weak side, you might hear where Godavari start exporting pellet from, you know, from the next quarter. So we want to be future ready, and that was the whole idea. Plus, we also saved about close to over 100 crores of CapEx, on, you know, on the coal gasification side to, you know, to, generate the same kind of fuel. So 100 crores CapEx was saved on the CapEx side. Plus, we are future ready whenever export opportunity is there. That was the whole idea.
Got it. And sir, for the coal, I think you mentioned last time that South African coal prices had increased because of the supply glut. So can you just give us an idea on how the prices are hovering for this quarter?
See, this quarter we are very well covered within the limits. So our average pricing should be somewhere about, you know, 12,500-13,000 rupees. But Q2 onwards, because of the war impact, the sea freight has gone up substantially from $15-$16. It's almost, you know, crossed $22. Dollar is up from 93-94 levels to 97 levels.
Yeah.
So there is a substantial impact on the imported coal price from Q2 onwards, at least by 15%-20%.
20%, okay.
Yeah. At the moment.
Domestic.
Yeah, at the moment it is.
Domestically, we wouldn't have a problem for the 40% mix that we have.
No, see, domestically, so at the moment, we are close to over 100% using imported coal. We have been using imported coal to maximize the production levels in the DRI. But any given point of time, we can always switch to domestic coal, and the availability of domestic coal is abundant. There is no supply or glut in supply of domestic coal sourcing. So we can switch whenever we want to. So we are carefully monitoring this war situation, and if we feel the situation is not dying down, so going forward, we might shift to some part of domestic coal for DRI.
Got it. Perfect. And just a last question before I join back in line. I think we have established some really good tie-ups in terms of our BESS setup, how we are progressing with EVE, with Roche and other players. Sir, can you just give us a sense on how do you think this market is going to play out in India? Because we've seen a lot of players announcing the CapEx or announcing the expansion into BESS projects that they would do. Can you just give us a bit light on how our talks with potential customers or early pipeline talks are progressing?
See, at the moment, we haven't gone to the market yet. We want to get into the market once we know we can deliver, you know, after a certain time period. So we intend to go into the market, you know, end of Q2, which is, say, about September, August. But see, it's an open market. People do feel the initial CapEx on the lower side, but it's actually not. And the challenge will be, you know, a continuous supply from tier one components across the globe. So that is the reason we feel ki, the market is going to be competitive, but eventually, what quality components and how you know, make the container eventually will play out. So once you deliver in the market, then only probably, you know, you can see who is able to deliver and not able to deliver.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Because I think in terms of capabilities, as we've seen, China is the number one player in battery energy storage, and since they're sourcing components from most of those tie-ups, I think we should be in a very good capability.
Yeah. So we also, so recently, just to you know, inform all the stakeholders, we recently also have tied up with FEMA, which is a Italian-based company. They have a plant in India for PCS, and we have tied up with a Gujarat-based developer for EMS, which is compulsory as a part of battery storage by the Indian government. So we are continuously doing long-term tie-ups with key component suppliers so that we have a, you know, continuous supply for all the components on a regular basis.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. I'll just join back in line.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Vineet Thakur from Plus91 AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the setting numbers. So I would like you to throw some light on the EBITDA margins and what would be your conversion ratios? How do the conversion ratios work right now as of from mining to pellets, pellets to sponge iron? That would be great, sir.
See, the conversion from mining to pellet is about close to about 2,000 rupees. And from pellet to DRI, including thermal coal, of course, so it comes to about, so the conversion cost, operating cost is about 15 rupees from pellet to DRI, and remaining is your coal and iron ore cost. So pellet, iron ore is about 40%, coal is about 35%, and remaining is your operating cost. So today, if you see a breakup of, say, my production cost is 20,000 rupees, sort of that, pellet will be about 10 rupees, coal will be about 8.5 rupees, and remaining 15 rupees will be operating cost. That is the breakup for the DRI.
Okay. And sir, could you give some shed some light on gold structural products? Because there's been a quite incremental QOQ and YOY growth on those products.
Yes. So a couple of things. Once, so we took the RR Spat rolling mill, which we had designed. There was some modification required to, you know, improve the quality and upgrade the production. So that modification was over in end of Q3. So that's why you are seeing a substantial increase in the roll product production from Q4 onwards. And now you can see this production happening on a continuous basis, quarter on quarter, because the mills is now, you know, quite stable and there is activity of the product in the market. So we have a healthy order book of almost 6 months on RR Spat. So now you can see these volumes on quarter on quarter basis.
So sir, what would be our capacity and what would be the utilization for this year we are expecting for FY27?
See, so total roll product, including Godavari, we should do about somewhere about 3.75 lakh tons for the entire year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join by the question to again for asking another question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stuti Agarwal from Chhattisgarh Investment Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So regarding the exceptional line item in P&L, you had mentioned in your opening remarks that the difference between a positive of like from a positive 36.69 crores at standalone level to a negative 18.29 crores at consolidated level is due to the non-inclusion of profit on sale of Arden Steel. So could you please give us a bifurcation between this profit and I guess the write-off of pre-operative cost of thermal power plant?
Yes. See, in other income, there is a 91 crore item of dividend from Arden Steel Limited, associate company. And there is around 73 crores profit on sale of stake of Ardent Steel, which is appearing in the exceptional item in standalone results.
Okay, and
this method is right on cost to cost basis, but when the consolidation comes, so on equity method, the profit recognized in standalone on cost basis is eliminated, and only 17 crore profit is there on the entire transaction of this Ardent Steel stake sale. 17 crore gain as exceptional items and around 37 crore or 36 crore write-off of the erstwhile Godavari Energy pre-operative cost. So net to net, there is 17 crore loss in consolidated balance sheet as exceptional loss.
Okay, so that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead. Yogansh, you may please proceed ahead with the question. Yogansh, if you are on mute, please unmute yourself and proceed ahead with the question. As there is no response, we'll move forward to the next participant. Our next question comes from the line of Sinclair D'Souza from Lalka Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I wanted to ask, what is the revenue guidance for FY27 and the EBITDA margin guidance for FY27?
See, revenue, we should top line should be 6,000 plus with a new pellet plant operating at close to 80%-90% capacity. So there will be the additional volume and additional revenue coming from there, as other volumes remains almost constant. And FY 27 guidance, see, at current market levels, we should be able to do somewhere at about 24-25% of, you know, at EBITDA levels, at current market levels. It's a very, you know, difficult to comment, such a early stage of the financial year. But looking at the current market scenario, 25% we should be able to maintain the EBITDA levels, and top line should cross 6,000 crores with the additional volume of pellet coming in.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations again for very good results. My first question is on the pellet. If we have to see the quarter-on-quarter realizations, it's not moved at all versus the market pricing. So what's happening over here? If you can help us understand the reasons and how can pellet prices look for FY27?
Thanks, Sahil. So on the Q4, we see the pellet pricing hasn't moved much compared to market because there was a phase where we were not able to do mining at the full capacity because of the EC section. As EC got delayed, you know, right from October, November, then finally it came in end of Feb. So we were not able to produce the same volumes of high-grade pellets, where we, you know, draw a premium of more than 1,000 rupees. We had to make the, you know, 63 commercial pellet. So that is why you were not able to, you know, see a difference in the pellet pricing compared to the market scenario. That was a major reason, no other reason beyond that. And on the FY27 guidance, as the mining production goes up from Q3 onwards, once monsoons are over, the product mix of high-grade will start going up drastically. And that will definitely show a difference between the pellet pricing for Godavari and the others in the market. But that will happen from Q3 onwards as the mining production starts going up post-monsoons.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations to you and the entire team on a good set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to understand on the new mining and the pellet plant scale-up that you were explaining before. So earlier we used to mine 27-28 lakh tons of ore and simultaneously convert that into pellet. While this time, because of the beneficiation plant, you are saying that the mining would be of higher, 4-4.5 million, and pellet ready ore would be 3.5 million. So why is there a change in that, if you could help me understand, sir?
No, so there is a slight correction. So earlier we used to mine about 2.4 million tons. If you see our last year's mining production, it was about 2.35, 2.4 million tons. This year we have done about 2.7, 2.8 because we were able to get the EC in Feb and there was additional production in March. So there was an additional increment. Till last year, Bore Tipu was not in operation. We started Bore Tipu operations last year only, where we did the mining of hardly 0.2 lakh tons. So if you compare basis that, against a 2.4 million, we will be doing about a 3.4 million tons. So straight away a jump of almost a million ton for this financial year. So if you compare basis that, 3.4 is usable and actual mining will be 4 million plus. And from next year onwards at full capacity, the actual mining will be 6 million tons and usable will be about 4.5 million tons after beneficiation.
Okay.
Because earlier there was no beneficiation plant in the mines. The 0.6 million plant started last year. So there was a little bit of beneficiation and the further we go up once we commission the new plant of 6 million tons.
Got it. So, sir, if you could broadly explain how does the economics and margin change once we do beneficiation, because then ideally we are extracting more ore and converting to lesser pellet. if that
yes.
number works out that way. So then how does the margin or the economics work in case of beneficiation plan then?
Just to give you a very brief explanation, we beneficate, so average grade in the mines is about 5960 Fe. We want to beneficate that, upgrade that to a 67 concentrate, basis which we will be making a high grade 65 pellets. So once you do that, about 15% of iron ore is wasted in the form of tailings. So if you do 100 ton of mining, about 85 tons of concentrate you will be getting to feed to the pellet plant. This is one scenario. And the second scenario is, we will also be mining a BMQ, which is a low-grade magnetite, where 35-38 Fe will be upgraded to again 65-67. In that, the recovery will be close to about only 40%. So when you put together a whole, the recovery, based on the 6 million, will be close to about 70-80%. So about 20-25% of the entire iron ore will be wasted as a tailing. So on a 6 million, if you subtract 25%, you get about 4.5 million tons of iron ore, usable iron ore of a 65 plus concentrate. That is how it works.
Got it.
Because if I don't beneficate, if I may use a 68 iron ore, I will get more volume, but my Fe in the pellet will be below 59, which is not sellable in the market. So I will have to beneficate to upgrade the Fe content. That is the whole idea.
Got it. And sir, I think a couple of calls ago you had mentioned that by beneficiating at the mine, you will be saving some logistics cost as well.
Exactly.
You were spending more on the plant. So what was the number, if you could share, or if there is any change in that number?
See, so currently the freight is about 1,000 rupees. So if you're able to, you know, remove a 10-15% of wastage inside the mine, so straight away a 150 rupees of saving you'll be doing on the freight side. Earlier, we were doing beneficiation inside the pellet plant, in the Raipur complex. So we were losing on the freight. Now, from Q3 onwards, we'll be beneficiating inside the mines. So straight away, there'll be a saving of about 150 rupees per ton on the final concentrate being sent to the plant for usage.
Got it, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you. I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Vedant Sarda from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, you may proceed ahead with the question.
Sir, just wanted to know, any of our plans to increase our mining capacity or foraying into new mining, like new any rare earth or anything, or increasing our iron ore mining capacity?
See, at current production levels, we already planned the expansion for Aidongri, and that will take care of the next, you know, till results are. On Boretipu front, we have already announced earlier. We have plans to take the mining capacity from 0.7 million to 4 million tons, along with beneficiation inside the mines, because again, Boretipu is a low-grade ore, about 35 Fe content, 40 content. That will take about another 3 years from now on. We've already started working on it. So Boretipu should be online by, I think, FY30, including beneficiation. Once we're able to do that, so Boretipu, the output, usable output will be close to about 1.5 million tons. So these are the current mines which we plan for. In future, if there is any new mines coming up in auction, which we feel is attractive, we're always going to explore that. But at the moment, we don't see any good mines coming up in the area. If there is an opportunity going forward, we will definitely explore it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vandana Rathi from Coleman Capital Investment Advisor LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Very good afternoon. So I have one bookkeeping question. I wanted to understand how much was the inventory gain in Q2?
Can you come again, please? You're not audible.
How much was the inventory gain in Q4?
Inventory gain in Q4?
Yeah.
No, I think... Bhutra ji? You have the figure for that inventory gain?
We have roughly gained 20 crores on account of unsold pellet stock carrying from last quarter and sold during the quarter. So that's higher realization, 20 crores rupees roughly on 90,000 tons.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So my next question is, I was just going to the results. I was seeing 150 crores of loan giving to the education subsidiary company for some residential school project. Do you want to highlight something on that?
We have taken an enabling resolution for the time being. The school will separately go for the loan from the other sources. In the meanwhile, for the timing arrangement, we have taken this enabling resolution.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Divya Garwal from FICOM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I had only one question regarding the 2031 guidance. So basically, in the guidance you have mentioned that you'll be achieving 3,000 crore PAT. So that's like a 10% PAT margin. So just wanted a clarification. Is it because the margins are coming down because of your BESS project?
BESS and the CRM. So both BESS and CRM will be on the lower margin side. So the top volume will go up heavily, but the margins... So BESS is at about a 7-8% margin business. The CRM is at about a 7-10% margin business. So that's the reason the overall margins are coming down, but the top line is going heavy, the exponentially, there's a top line growth.
Right, got it. And secondly, sir, I just wanted to know your outlook on the current pellet situation domestically. How is it? And in terms of the capacity as well, are you seeing any overcapacity coming in? Just wanted to get a sense on that. Thanks.
See, at the moment, we don't see an overcapacity coming in, but there will be a challenge to merchant pellet players who are solely dependent on market for purchase of iron ore. We can definitely see a squeeze in margins for them. But for people like Lloyds, Godavari or other companies which have the captive resources, I don't see a pressure margin there and also on the demand supply. So at the moment, there's no over demand supply. Plus, exports is always open. If you see today, export market is very much viable if you want to really explore. So I don't see at the moment, going forward, all depends, you know, how the sea market goes.
Right, I got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Varun Mehta from Wealthing Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I just want to know about the steel plant cost, which we are looking at 7,000 crores. I think 3-4 years back, we spoke about 1 million ton to be a 4,000 crore cost. So the cost has gone up on solution, or are we doing something else on this?
No. So we, you know, I had personally, you know, tendered an apology to all the stakeholders because for us being the first time in a blast primary route, we did a wrong calculation. There was a wrong estimation done by us on the capex side. So again, once again, since apologies. So if you can please, you know, omit that entire story from your mind. We were wrong on the cost estimation. The current capex given us 7,000 crores is very much on the practical side. We have done a thorough study with the equipment suppliers, and this is that we have shared the details with the stakeholders.
Okay. And plus, what is the return on capital we are looking at for the
plus, there are a couple of changes which there is an increase in capex. One is, earlier we had said we had no intention of putting up a coke oven plant because there was ample of import of coke available from Indonesia and other countries. But last year, to support the local domestic coke industry, government of India had imposed restrictions on import of cokes, because of which now we are investing heavily in the coke oven plant. One. And secondly is, the product we're going to enter into is a value-added product. It's not a PMT or a regular wire rod product. So the structure mill which we are proposing, it's a value-added steel, and it has a substantial cost compared to a similar volume of a PMT or a rebar mill. So on these two accounts, the capex is slightly higher compared to a standard 1 million steel plant. But apart from that, numbers are pretty much on the similar levels.
So how much return we are looking at for this investment of
We expect EBITDA of more than 20% once the plant is operating at full capacity, because we haven't evaluated steam, and currently there is not much competition from the Indian market. So we should be able to do a EBITDA of more than 20% going forward once the plant is running at full capacity. But again, you know, it's a commodity market, it's steel. Anybody's open to, you know, invest in such kind of capex. It's just an estimation, and this is which we have, you know, thought of going ahead.
And can you just share what is our cost of production for pellets, basically at 5,500? What is the basic cost for pellets?
See, if you consider annual at 3,000 rupees with verification and everything, our current cost of pellets should be is at about 5,500 to 5,800 rupees after verification.
Okay. And this last question is, this guidance what we have provided for 2031 on the sales part, this includes the steel revenue also?
Yeah, it includes the steel revenue, includes the first phase of battery storage and the CRM revenue. All three.
So the steel plant is not that in that.
No, no. So 1 million steel plant, the battery storage and the CRM complex. All three.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aryan Bhatia from Invid Research. Invid Research, please go ahead.
Thank you.
So my question is, what is generally the conversion ratio from our mining to pellet? So from the usable 4.5 million tons mine, what will the pellet conversion? And what will you be buying from the market for our 4.7 million pellet market?
Okay, so you're not audible, but still I could
got your question. So as said earlier, we'll be doing about 0.8 to 1 million tons of procurement of iron ore this year to run at full capacity. And that should drastically come down from Q3 onwards once monsoons are over. And the conversion from mining to pellet, as I mentioned, it's after beneficiation of all kinds of ore. It is about, so if you mine 100 tons of iron ore, you will get about 75 tons of usable concentrate of high grade to feed to the pellet plant. So if you do a 4 million mining, you get about 3.2 million tons of usable iron ore for the pellet plant.
Got it. And on the second, on the rolled pellet capacity, so can you provide the breakdown of our rolled pellet capacity? How much is the wire rod, how much is the MS round, and how much is the galvanized product?
Okay, so at the, so for this financial year, so the wire rod will be close to about 2.2 lakh tons, which will be further drawn to, so wire rod will be 2.2, further rolled to 1.1 lakh tons of HB wire. And on the structural side, that will be about 1.2, 1.3. So put together, we're doing about 3.7 of total roll products this year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Anvesh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ajit Sethi from ICO Quantum Solution. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the CRM complex. So in the previous con call, we have guided for 50% utilization in CRM complex in FY28. So are we on track to achieve that guidance?
Yes. At the moment, with the current status being you know, shared with all the stakeholders a little earlier by the Bhutraji. So at the moment, we are on track. We are hopeful to commission the first line by end of Q4, early, you know, Q1 of next financial year. And that's why you've taken a very conservative guidance of 50%, which is at about 3.5 lakh tons of CRM complex for FY28.
And so how can we expect the further ramp-up of capacity going forward?
So from FY29, we should be at about 90% capacity for sure.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rohan Mehta from StarTC, please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you so much. Good afternoon. Just a couple of questions. So currently the Indian pellet prices seem to be around 10,000 bucks and the global prices around 11,500 bucks. What I wanted to understand was, what is the delta because of the higher freight cost that we are looking to export?
Can you come again, please? You were not audible initially.
So Indian pellet prices seem to be around 10,000 rupees. And export market is around 11,500, if I'm not mistaken. But because of the higher freight cost, what is it that we are looking as delta to export?
See, so currently, if you talk about from my plant to, say, China, for just for number, including the freight cost, it is somewhere at about 3,000 rupees. So if I'm selling at 10,000 rupees ex-plant, so my export price to be at the similar levels has to be somewhere about 13,000 levels, which is not the case. But today, the Indian prices are about 9,500 rupees, and with the dollar inflation, today, if you want to export, we can easily achieve more than 9,000 rupees ex-plant. So the delta is now hardly less than $10 between domestic pricing and the export pricing.
So probably sometime in the next quarter or this quarter end, we should start exporting. That is what, if I'm looking at correctly?
See, it all depends. If the Indian market continues to remain on the lull side, which is at the moment because of XYZ reasons, and the export market remains at these levels, so we might see some volume going into export.
Those reasons currently in the Indian market is the Lloyd extra capacity or just monsoon coming up?
See, to be honest, Lloyd hasn't hit the Chhattisgarh market at the moment right now. 90% pellets are going into the Chhattisgarh market. So Lloyd hasn't touched the Chhattisgarh market at the moment. But there is an overall, you know, there is a demand, there is a lull in the steel demand. There's no selling in the finished side. The prices cut almost by 10% in last few weeks. So the overall sentiment is weak. Besides that, we have started exploring the export market. No, there is.
Perfect. And the second question is on the BESS front. Just like everything else, the 5-6 GWh for the next year is a conservative guidance, or that is what we are looking to achieve?
No,
And
it's a very conservative guidance.
Perfect. And in the  2031 explanation that we are assuming, we have not considered the phase two of the BESS thing. Is there a reason for that?
No, there's no reason. Just that, you know, we thought whatever we have announced, whatever the projects have started, you know, taking shape, we want to, you know, give our estimation basis that. Phase two, when it will come, how it will come, we don't know, because battery storage itself, it's huge, it's heavy tech industry. Hello?
Sure, sir, go ahead.
So we haven't considered phase two. The only reason is because it's something which is very new for us. We want to establish the phase one. We want to run the plant at full capacity, and based on that, we want to decide whether how we want to, you know, go ahead in the phase two. Whether we want to get into expanded capacity in phase two, or whether we want to go into backward integration and enter into a cell manufacturing with the technology tie-up. It's a very nascent stage for us to decide for the phase two. So that's why we only give an estimation based on the current projects taken up. No other reason.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question come from the line of Manav Gogia from YES Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity again. So, we just wanted to know, one clarification. The new steel plant of 1 million tons that we have, this is a blast furnace or this is through the DRI route?
No, this is a blast furnace route. See, we have no intention of getting into a coal-based DRI because it becomes very challenging to, you know, be cost effective in producing steel and compete with the big guys. So it's a blast furnace route, which is a conventional route in India at the moment now. We did ponder over the gas-based DRI route, but looking at the current, you know, supply discussion and dependency on import of natural gas, you know, we thought it's better to go with the conventional blast furnace route, at least for the phase one.
Sure. So, this will include the 1 million ton blast furnace, 0.7 million ton of coke oven as well, right?
No. So the blast furnace capacity should be, the hot metal should be about 1.1, 1.2 million tons. There's a 0.5 million coke oven, non-recovery coke oven. There'll be a 1 million sinter plant. So our idea is to 50% pellet and 50% sinter, because we want to also hedge our pellet bets. We don't want to keep the, you know, keep selling pellets in the market. So 50% pellet from the new plant will be going to the blast furnace, and then the remaining steel complex, right from converter to the finished side.
Got it, got it. And secondly, what sort of land parcel? I mean, we have roughly 452 acres, right?
Yeah, so we have 450 acres, and that is more than sufficient for the entire complex.
No, well, yes, my question was here, what would be the scalability in the future if we had to go for a brownfield expansion? So would we have enough infrastructure from if we plan to move on going ahead, post-2030?
So see, we have left a certain space for a brownfield expansion. Plus, we also identified nearby land, which is adjoining to the current land. So if we think we want to, you know, go for a brownfield expansion, we can always use that same parcel and buy a little bit of adjoining parcel to expand. But to be honest, at the moment, we are not thinking of phase two. We're just considering of phase one at the moment right now.
Got it. And we continue to maintain that the focus will be long products because I think we also have a CRM complex. So we could have had a full-fledged, flat product.
See, the problem is for a CRM complex, right, for a HR mill, the minimum capacity, which is, technically and commercially viable, is a 2 million ton mill because the width has to be, 1550 plus. So to feed a 2 million mill, we didn't have the hot metal. The entire CapEx would have crossed maybe 12,000-13,000 crores. So we didn't want to go that high. Secondly, even with the steel capacity announced by the big players, we already feel today India's market is oversupplied by HR coil, plus imports is always open, right? So we thought instead of doing a CRM, HR complex, let's just focus onto CRM, which is a value-added steel, and enter into a long product where we, enter into the structures and, other segments. So that is the whole idea behind not going into HR mill complex, yeah.
Oh, understandable. Thank you. So, second question is, could you please highlight how the next couple of years would look in terms of CapEx? And what sort of debt numbers do we see coming up? Because the 7,000 crores, I think 1:1, would be the debt equity, right?
Yeah,
And we
yeah.
also for debt from the other side.
See, the CRM, the battery storage, we have already invested more than almost 40-50% in both the projects. So this year, the CapEx on the steel side hardly will be about 10%, which will mainly go into account of ordering of equipment and an advance. The major CapEx which is going to incur in steel will happen from FY28. So FY28, FY29 will be the major money inflow into the steel plant. Apart from that, we are self-funded, from everything from internal accrual. So whatever debt we have to take on will be happening from FY28 only on account of steel CapEx.
Got it. So in a nutshell, if I have to assume for FY27, we can take a 1800 to 2000 crore CapEx number, right? Would that be the correct way to think of?
Yes, including the balance of CRM, balance of your battery storage and a little bit of solar, you can consider CapEx approach to about 1500 to 2000 crores for FY27.
And 28 onwards, it can probably go towards 2500 and 3000.
Yeah, about 3000 crores. About 3000 crores FY28 and 3000 crores FY29. Very correct.
Oh, okay. Oh, got it. That is helpful. So one request I had, I think in our earlier presentations, we had a, split of project-wise CapEx and the timelines and whatever CapEx we had incurred. If you could just bring back that from our next presentation, would be
sure,
really helpful.
Sure. Well, very well noted. We will take care of that.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aman Kothari from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I think in the last con call, we had guided that pellet capacity would be running at over 90% utilization and we would be targeting around 4.1, 4.2 million tons. So I think what you guided that we'll be looking at around 3 to 3.2 million tons. So any reason why we've looking at a 3 to 3.2 million tons pellet quantity for this year?
No. There's a confusion. So pellet guidance for this year is 4 million tons. The iron ore volume, net usable iron ore for the pellet will be at 3.4 million tons.
Okay. So that will be the captive one you were stating earlier. Okay.
Exactly. So the pellet guidance is at 4 million tons this year. And iron ore guidance, net usable, is at 3.4 million tons.
Got it. And it would be the same mixer, 3-1, sales and captive?
So, yeah. So see, captive remains the same. Captive capacity is about 0.9 to 1 million ton. There will be no increment in captive capacity. So, the pellet merchant sale will be at about 3 million tons.
Got it. And as you had earlier rightly pointed out, the increase in diesel cost that we have seen particularly. So can you just give an idea on the incremental cost it would accrue us in terms of mining cost?
See, diesel, the good thing is, we have also invested in heavily into EVs in the mining as well, So
yeah.
Loaders, excavators. So currently our major concern is on the transportation side because our entire iron ore comes by road. So the diesel pricing on the rising side and looks to be, at the similar levels for, quite some time. We have started working on the EV and we want to replace that with EV trucks ASAP. So currently their transportation is about 900 rupees. We foresee it can go up to 1150 200 rupees if the diesel prices continue to rise in the near future.
1150 to 1200. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. For short term. For short term, definitely. Yes.
Short term. Got it, got it. And sir, as you rightly pointed out that we're looking to transition to an EV fleet, do you have, is there an estimate on what would be the fleet size that we will be targeting and the amount that we will be committing to the same?
See, the amount of INO we need to move at the full capacity, we need to deploy more than about 300 trucks, or about 350 trucks. Full capacity. Yeah, 350 trucks. So at a full site capex should be more than about 350 crores.
Okay, 350 crores. Got it, sir.
Yes, yes, yes. With the charging infra and other things, it should be about 350 crores at full scale.
Thank you. Participant has left the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, team.
We would like to express our sincere appreciation for joining us on this conference call, and we are confident that we have adequately addressed all your queries. Should you have any further questions or need additional information, please feel free to reach out our IE team at Go India Advisors. Once again, we sincerely thank you all for your active participation and unwavering support. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Godavari Power and Ispat Limited, also Monarch Network Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.